I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Justin Reed met with the media yesterday. He had some interesting things to say about locker room atmosphere in 2021 versus last season.
The locker room's completely different. It's a lot more team-first attitude. I mean, that's emphasis. I feel like I hear it every day in the team meeting. But it reminds us to just keep that first and foremost, because that's what good teams are. Good teams don't have selfish players that put themselves before the integrity of the offense or the defense, because that's how you have a stronger unit as a whole. So he preaches that every day. He's been a complete leader for us. His birthday's coming up soon, too. So that'll be big time for him. But we've really taken heed to his leadership and what he's preached to the locker room.
Okay, and he is, of course, David Culley, who I think today is his birthday. We're running a promo. Yes, September 17th. Happy birthday, Coach Culley. He's 66 years old today. Happy birthday. I think we were actually running promos wishing him a happy birthday on the station here. Seth, that was some the beginning of that was some straight fire from Justin Reed. I mean, he's all but saying that there were selfish players in the locker room last year that were going off script on offense and defense playing for themselves.
Yeah.
That's what I heard.
Last year, when you fire your coach four games into the season and you've got a general manager who's not a general manager, and you've got Romeo Crennel, Romeo Crennel at that stage in the game, probably not the toughest taskmaster in the world. I think that guys, every discipline breaks down, and I think probably a lot of guys maybe showed the worst version of themselves. And that's where it's a testament to David Culley and Nick Caserio that they got to rein in on that stuff. And I guess that's what I worry about sometimes. If you start talking about tanking, it's hard to go 2-14 or 3-13 or 4-12 in the NFL without a whole lot of people starting into questioning everything around. Like every little thing becomes a big thing in a really bad losing season like that. And it's, kind of like it was with the Astros. You know, every little thing with the Astros became a huge thing with the Astros. It was every little thing that Bud Norris squeaked or complained about, it seemed like it was the biggest thing in the world. So you see the worst version of some guys. I don't really look at that necessarily as any one individual or maybe even group of individuals as much as it was just there was a loss of institutional control last year that made everything really ugly.
Do you think, I mean, Justin Reed's a player who played on the defensive side of the ball. And look, I mean, this is going to be total speculation here, but we've heard through the years, like J.J. Watt had his own set of rules when it came to how he played in the defense. You know, like J.J. didn't have to follow the same script everybody else did, because he could, for the times that it left the defense compromised, he would make three other plays that would change the game somehow along the way. Do you feel like they're, especially in a season where you're going 4-12 and it's not the same J.J. Watt that you had in 2018 even, that there's any sort of resentment over that? Like, that's when I hear Justin Reed saying what he said, it sounded like there were guys on both sides of the ball that were going into business for themselves out there on Sundays.
Remember, Anthony Weaver got really upset about that notion last year. Mm-hmm. Remember, he came into a press conference and kind of just went off and
cursed.
But it was interesting, because it was after basically somebody, it was almost in response to something Romeo Crennel had said a couple days earlier, where Romeo Crennel said that they had some guys that weren't playing disciplined and
yes,
they weren't playing
with,
like, within the integrity of the defense or whatever phrase he used. So I almost I almost wonder exactly how much infighting there was, perhaps, or what was going on there. I don't know. The thing with JJ is that I think people like to say he wasn't playing within structure, what have you, but with both Wade Phillips, I think Romeo Crennel, and with Anthony Weaver, that was kind of built into the defense. And when you're playing, if you're playing linebacker behind a guy like JJ Watt, that's when you have to be flexible and learn how to play off of JJ Watt. And that's where it was just never an issue. Ted Johnson and I disagreed about this because I think I just played with defensive coordinators sometimes who had more of a tolerance for guys who are really good impact players and how much of a benefit they were to a defense, even if they weren't always technically correct. And it's up to the linebackers and the other guys next to them to kind of improvise off of them and play off of them. So I think that was always the rule with JJ, but it wasn't like he was freelancing against the wishes of the coach.
Right.
It was always part of, like, him playing out of scheme was part of the scheme.
Yeah, I'm only bringing him up because he's the one guy who had, you know, he's the one guy who played outside of the scheme. But like you said, it was, you know, with permission, so to speak.
Yeah. So I mean, he wasn't the only guy that played outside the scheme. I mean, like there were a lot of other guys who just flat out not good at doing what they're supposed to be doing. Zach Cunningham in pass coverage has just never been good at what he's supposed to be doing.
Right, right, right.
But it's not like Zach Cunningham was making up for it by also having like 7 picks in a season or something.
Yeah, exactly. Payne and Pendergast with you, 713-572-4610. We're getting a lot of River Otter texts, Seth.
Yeah.
Guys, otters are freaking evil. They kidnap other otters' children and hold them hostage for food and violate other otters and any other animals. Look it up. I don't know that that's necessarily true. And we're getting a lot of rundowns of the various animals, wild animals that are that you can find near Buffalo Bayou.
I'd say, wild animals in general are wild for a reason. They're usually not all that friendly. Wild animals don't stay wild by being super friendly to human beings. That's the that's a pretty steadfast rule of life. The reason that they're still wild and remain wild is that they're not all that cool with humans. They might not attack you outright, but if you come up to them and try to pet them, they're not always so friendly about it.
I think we found the Anthony Weaver audio that you're talking about here. So let's see, okay. is this the sound of a defensive coordinator who is overseeing a defense that has issues with selfishness and players being in it for themselves?
We got to not give up 60-yard runs at the end of the game, Aaron. This narrative that's being painted like my guys are undisciplined and running around blocks, quite frankly, and to be put it bluntly, is bullshit. My guys play hard, they battle, they're doing the absolute best they can, and they leave their everything they have on that football field to go out there and stone the run. We lost the game 10-0. Yeah, you could say it's been 17-0. All right, but we expect to go out there and stop the run every time we do it. But to sit here and paint this narrative, there was a question asked to Romeo the other day about the accountability of the defense. Are they accountable? Hell yeah, they're accountable. Anybody that's worked for me, anything I've done in my entire life has been accountable. And if that's ever questioned, then I'll resign. Okay? But these guys battle. They fight. They're doing everything they can to go out there and stop the run. And we're going to try to do it again this weekend.
All right. So that, ironically, I forgot. That was after the Browns game from last year. You remember?
Yeah.
You
know, there was a play. There was a play in that game. There was a play where JJ got too far upfield on a play. Or was it? Did he lose contain?
I don't know. There's but he made a mistake, and they scored a touchdown on it.
Yeah. So who knows what the hell was going on at that point of the season. It sounds like it was awful dramatic. I mean, you had moments where JJ was arguing with Bill O'Brien.
That was early.
Then you had the whole dynamic of just like Jack Easterby being the general manager, which is one of the reasons you don't have your head coach be your general manager. It's because then when you fire your head coach, you've also fired your general manager. It was just a mess, and that's where I've tried to hit the reset button on everybody this year, including Jack Easterby, just because, look, I've been through those seasons before. I went through a 2-14 season, and it's almost impossible for almost everybody is not their ideal self. because you're dealing with so many imperfect things and you get stuck. It's almost like a Game of Thrones episode or something where you've made so many oaths and you've got so many responsibilities to so many different things and people, and yet it's all falling apart that it's almost impossible to be right, you know? And there's the amount of politicking that goes on within an NFL team amongst coaches, between the front office and coaches, all that stuff, things get really, really ugly. So I've tried to say, all right, you know what? With just like I'll do for a lot of the players and some of the coaches that stuck around, I'm doing the same thing for Jack Easterby. I'm waiting and seeing how it operates with Nick Caserio as the general manager, with David Culley as the head coach, and hopefully you see better versions of people's selves.
Yep. Week two, we get this Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. Noon kickoff here on Sports Radio 610. What is Tyrod Taylor's ceiling, and what will we learn about his ability to approach it this weekend against the Browns? That's next.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, so Tyrod Taylor, starting quarterback for the Texans. What is Tyrod Taylor's ceiling? He's 32 years old. Probably, I'm calling him a journeyman is probably accurate. He's been a starting quarterback at times in the league. He's had some unfortunate injury luck that's derailed a few of his efforts to be a full-time starter, most notably last year with the Chargers when a team trainer, a team doctor, punctured his lung with a pain-killing shot for his ribs. So he's here now. He's a starting quarterback, had a really good week one. Mike Tannenbaum, the former Jets general manager who's now working for ESPN, does a quarterback power ranking each week, you know, basically just a snapshot of who he thinks the best quarterbacks are, and I'm sure he does this weekly, and it's fluid throughout the season. You know, for example, Aaron Rodgers is listed third right now in his quarterback power rankings. Aaron Rodgers might have had the worst game of any quarterback in the league in week one, but he's Aaron Rodgers. You know, the thought is Aaron Rodgers is going to get that mulligan out of his way and play at a very high level. So the names near the top are the ones you'd expect there to be. Mahomes, and Brady, and we'll see on Rodgers, Seth, but for the point of illustration.
Yeah, I know what you're saying. Yeah. There's something going on with Rodgers.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going through some stuff, man.
Rodgers, Allen are 3 and 4. Russell Wilson is 5. Dak Prescott, 6. So you get the sense, you know, and Prescott lost his game, but he was really, really good, so he's up there near the top. Where is Tyrod Taylor on these rankings right now? I'm glad you asked. He is 27th in these rankings, which obviously is not indicative of the quality of game that he had on Sunday. You know, he had one of the better games that a quarterback had in the league on Sunday, but he's Tyrod Taylor, and there's a lot of wait and see, and he doesn't have a lot of material around him, unlike most of these other guys in the same area of the standings as Tyrod Taylor. I think what's interesting about this, Seth, if we're talking about the ceiling for Tyrod Taylor, because I think there is upward mobility with Tyrod, even at age 32, Trevor Lawrence, who he beat pretty badly on Sunday, is actually ahead of Tyrod Taylor right now. All the other rookies, well, not all of them, but Zach Wilson is below him. Justin Fields, Trey Lance below him. Mac Jones is actually above him as well.
Yeah, and like, so for Trevor Lawrence to be, this is where it annoys me with Tannenbaum, is that, okay, this is a former GM kind of doing things the way personnel people do, where they put a little too much sometimes on potential and physical traits than they should, whereas a coach is going to look at it and say, like, okay, what can this guy do for me now?
Right.
And I think right now, I don't think it's possible, like, after 1 week where Trevor Lawrence has all the potential in the world, and you saw that. You saw his ability on some of those throws that he made, and you saw his athleticism, you saw all that. But he's just simply not as good a quarterback as Tyrod Taylor right now. Like, if you put Trevor Lawrence on the Texans last week, I think there's a good chance the Texans don't beat the Jaguars. It was that big of a difference in quarterback play. Yep. So I don't think it's fair for Trevor Lawrence right now to be above Tyrod Taylor, no matter how much higher his ceiling is.
Yeah, and you can debate and discuss some of the other guys that are ahead of him. Trevor Lawrence is the interesting one. And by the way, Trevor Lawrence, three spots ahead of him at 24 on Mike Tannenbaum's quarterback power rankings here. So that's the one that you look at, and it hits you pretty acutely because that's who Tyrod Taylor beat and beat handily last week. I guess the question that we ask, Seth, is what is Tyrod Taylor's ceiling? So how high up do we think he could climb in these rankings? Like, where is the quarterback that we get to on this list where we go, okay, well, he's just, there's no chance Tyrod Taylor is better than this guy?
I guess it's in context too, because I think Tyrod Taylor is going to be a guy who, you know, it's going to be partly a reflection of who he's throwing to, what does his offense mm-hmm. look like, all of that. I mean, it's like that with everybody, but especially because Tyrod doesn't have the big time arm or anything that's going to make receivers look better than they actually are. But, and he was in Buffalo when he was good, you know, via QBR and other stats and metrics. He was an above average quarterback for a spell there. Could he get back up to that spot? I think a lot of it depends on Brandon Cooks. But I think he could definitely, I think at the end of this season, you might say, okay, who gives you a better chance of winning, Tyrod Taylor or, let's say, Sam Darnold?
Mm-hmm.
You know, Sam Darnold right now, people feel like there's a little bit of a glow about just because he had one good game with the Carolina Panthers.
He's 26th, by the way. He's one spot ahead
of
Taylor right now.
I think there's a chance. Teddy Bridgewater would be the interesting one because Teddy Bridgewater, I don't think can. Boy, Teddy Bridgewater looked more. He's looked more aggressive downfield. The knock on Teddy's always been that he's going to be dink and dunk, play it safe. Hey, he won games with the Saints, but the Saints had a hell of a roster, and he was able to throw short all the time. Bridgewater looked a little bit more aggressive through the preseason in week one. But I wonder if Tyrod Taylor ultimately ends up looking like a guy that, okay, you plop these two guys onto the same roster. Tyrod can create with his legs.
Yeah.
Tyrod can do a few other things that Teddy Bridgewater simply can't do.
Yeah, I mean, I look at some of these, you know, like, I mean, Kirk Cousins. Like, Kirk Cousins is 23 on this list. I've never been a big Kirk Cousins guy. But Kirk Cousins is, I mean, Kirk Cousins has Justin Jefferson and Adam Thielen to throw to. You know what I mean? Like,
you know who I really want Tyrod Taylor to be better than this year? And this would be almost as much as people are upset with me that I was downplaying the value of a division championship earlier. I feel like there's a bunch of people that like have paid money for division championship T-shirts,
mm-hmm.
and they're mad that I'm devaluing their collector's items.
Right.
I'll say this. I don't care about the division championship, but if Tyrod Taylor ends up being a better quarterback than Carson Wentz this year, I'll be the happiest person on earth. Especially if they stick with Carson Wentz long enough that they still have to cough up a first rounder to Philadelphia.
Yes.
And yet Carson Wentz still isn't that good.
He sucks.
That would be awesome.
That'd be fun.
You know what? That's something we need to start watching every week. Carson Wentz versus Tyrod Taylor by QBR and some of those stats.
Wentz was a 26.3 in week one QBR. That's a scale of 0 to 100. That's ESPN's sort of proprietary passer rating stat.
QBR is nice because about like a 50 is like an 8-8 quarterback gives you about a 50 QBR. That's
right.
An average quarterback is a 50.
Taylor was a 76.1, which is very solid for week one.
That sounds much, much higher.
Yeah.
Sean, that sounds like almost three times higher than Carson Wentz. Okay.
Someone says, is this a real conversation? Sunday was Tyrod Taylor's ceiling. That's it, man. I don't think Seth and I are arguing that. We're arguing, can he string more performances like Sunday together to make it more of a, not a one-time thing, make it more of a consistent thing. I agree. Like, that's The Tyrod Taylor we saw on Sunday was about as good as it's going to get with Tyrod Taylor. He threw for nearly 300 yards. He had a couple scrambles that really moved the chains and did some good things. His decision-making, other than the first pass of the game, which probably should have been a pick six, his decision-making was great throughout the game, and he protected the football. So, Texter, I mean, we're arguing two different things. Like, yes, Sunday was his ceiling, possibly, in an individual game. The argument or the question we're trying to answer is, how replicable is that for multiple weeks throughout the season with Tyrod Taylor?
Yeah, and that's always, I think that's always been the question with Tyrod Taylor.
Yes.
So I find myself pleased with Tyrod Taylor, which doesn't surprise me necessarily. Early on, what I had said 2 years ago when the Dolphins signed Ryan Fitzpatrick, I said, well, if you're trying to tank, that's the wrong... There's two guys you don't want to sign. Don't sign Ryan Fitzpatrick and don't sign Tyrod Taylor.
Yep. Because
those guys will win you half your games. They're not going to take you on a deep playoff run or anything, but they're going to, in different ways and by different methods, they're going to give you like a 500 season somehow, some way. Like, they've got the potential to do that. And I think that was some of the same thought I had when the Texans signed Tyrod Taylor, but that also I'm less and less on board with the concept of tanking in any sport. And I think a lot of analytical people are starting to feel that way. It's just there's other ways to do it where you cultivate some semblance of a winning culture while also bringing guys along. You know, having higher draft picks, but you don't have to have the highest draft pick every year.
Yep.
So that's where Tyrod Taylor makes sense. I think he can be part of a competitive culture,
mm-hmm.
if not an extreme winning culture, a part of a competitive culture, while also starting to accumulate valuable younger players.
All right, a couple things here. Lisa Ann, you fantasy football players. Lisa Ann is going to join us in about 15 minutes to give out fantasy football advice for this weekend. If you want to start texting in your start'em and sit'em questions, we bounce three or four of those off of her at the end of the conversation. That'll be at 8:45. But speaking of quarterbacks, it is a weekend. Week three of the college football season is coming up. Tyrod Taylor is keeping the seat warm for somebody. Your Texans future QB viewing guide is next.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter. Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
From the Twin Peaks studio, it's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's Payne and Pendergast.
All right, fantasy football advice coming up in about 9 minutes with Lisa Ann. So you Texan fans out there that are looking to watch college football this weekend, I think even with the team at 1-0 and all the enthusiasm, we still need to probably be cognizant of the reality that the Texans will be on the hunt for a quarterback in all likelihood come next spring. And here's your guide to the ones. These are the ones that I would circle or hit the DVR, hit the button, the record button on the DVR if you're doing other stuff on Saturday. All right, so we got a few of these here, Seth. Ben, give me a little something underneath this here. All right. Spencer Rattler. Spencer Rattler is viewed as the favorite for the Heisman Trophy right now. Oklahoma has had, a couple layups. I mean, they struggled with Tulane in week one. They destroyed Western Carolina last week. I don't think Nebraska's very good, but this is one of those games, Seth, this weekend that's, they're going to probably get the best version of Nebraska because this is an old rivalry game from the Big 8 days. It's being reprised here.
This is in Oklahoma?
It's in Norman, yes. Yep.
Yes, okay.
Yeah.
A good game could erupt. You never know. And in which case, is Spencer Rattler consistent more so than he was versus Tulane?
That's right.
The biggest thing with Spencer Rattler has been, all right, Is this a year he's going to settle down? Last year he showed a whole lot of promise, but he was inconsistent, a little bit erratic, and then kind of just looked hurried and rushed at times. Is this the year that he really grows into that role of being a stud starting quarterback? And his in his performance versus Tulane, there was some of that, but there were also some really curious misfires. I just want to see fewer misfires. I'd almost be more pleased if he had a pretty good game with no misfires than if he had, like, five touchdowns but three interceptions.
Yeah, the Sooners are 19.5-point favorites, so they're favored to do a number on Nebraska here. He can't do Spencer Rattler and the Sooners can't do what they did in week one and let a clearly inferior opponent hang around for the game. So that's what I'm looking for. So Spencer, and that game's, by the way, the early game. It's 11 a.m. It's on Fox. I think Fox's studio show is going to be in Norman for that one, the big noon kickoff. So there's that. Another early game that I would set the DVR for is on ESPN. Desmond Ridder, a name that is rising up a lot of draft boards. Desmond Ridder, dual threat quarterback, bigger dual threat quarterback. Cincinnati, a top 10 team. This is the first of two tests for Cincinnati, Seth, in back-to-back games here. They've got Indiana at Indiana coming up this 11 o'clock tomorrow on ESPN. And then I believe Cincinnati from there has a bye week, and then they travel to South Bend to face Notre Dame. So these will be two really good tests for Desmond Ridder. I would encourage, he's fun to watch too if you're a Texan fan. So I would say Desmond Ridder at Indiana. Indiana, really, really good defensive team last season, fifth in the nation.
Sean, you know what I'm going to do here?
What?
I'm going to lean on my Cougs because it reminds me of a similar situation where, do you remember when Blake Bortles was a prospect? Yeah. He hadn't been all that impressive versus Houston. And I remember a lot of Cougs telling me, hey, man, I don't know. I watched him and, like, yeah, I get it. He can run and he kind of looks like Ben Roethlisberger, but he does not have a Ben Roethlisberger arm. Watch out for this guy. And lo and behold, Blake, that was a good scouting report based on just a small sample size from Coug fans. I'm wondering with Desmond Ridder if they were all that impressed with him last year when he played Houston, because he didn't have one of his more impressive games. He threw an interception. He only had one rushing. He had one passing touchdown. I know he ran for a bunch of yards, but I don't recall it being all that impressive a game versus Houston. So I'm going to let my Cougs tell me whether or not they were impressed with Desmond Ridder.
713-572-4610 if you want to text in, help us out on Desmond Ridder. All right, next one. So we got Spencer Rattler at 11 on Fox, Desmond Ridder 11 on ESPN. The only midday game, middle of the afternoon game that I think is intriguing, in part because they just fired their coach earlier this week, Keaton Slovis and USC are at Washington State. That game is also on Fox. So we'll get a look at USC and what they look like in the first game following the firing of Clay Helton. And Slovis is obviously a guy who's a prospect that's on the radar for Texan fans as well.
Who is the interim? Who's Dante Williams, the interim coach for
USC? I was just about to say he's the interim coach.
I know. I realized that I'd looked it up this morning because I was like, wait a second, who is it? And Dante Williams, and then I didn't learn anything else about Dante Williams.
Yeah,
he's a really good recruiter apparently.
Okay,
so
well,
there you go.
I don't know how it's going to help them in Pullman, Washington on Saturday, but we'll see what happens. So Slovis is at 2:30. I know a lot of you are Malik Willis fans out there. He's on ESPN3 against Old Dominion at 5 o'clock. Sam Howell, the North Carolina quarterback who looked much better in week two than he did in week one, faces Virginia at 6:30.
Week one. If you had based it all on week one, no, everybody was down on Sam Howell.
Did not
like him. Understandably so.
Yep.
I don't have any problem with these damn college kids. Yeah, look, you have a stinker versus boys. If you can't do it versus boys, when are you going to do it versus men?
Yep.
You have one bad game, you're done. I'm done. You gotta earn your way back in with at least three or four solid games after that.
ACC Network for Sam Howell and the Tar Heels against the Cavaliers. Last one, Seth, for me. And this is one that's rising up my board. Matt Corral, who was dynamite in his opening game against Louisville on that Monday night on Labor Day, put up good numbers against an inferior opponent last week, too. They play Tulane, Ole Miss does. This is their last game before SEC conference play starts. And by the way, they open the conference against Alabama. So we'll find out fairly quickly what Matt Corral is all about as a quarterback in a couple of weeks when they face the Crimson Tide. But again, going back to the earlier part of the segment, Tulane is the team that hung around with Oklahoma in Norman in the first week of the season. Willie Fritz and the Tulane Green Wave travel to Oxford to face Matt Corral and Ole Miss. That's an ESPN2 game at 7 o'clock at night. So that That'll be one that's intriguing for me. My short list right now of guys, like if it were early April and we were headed towards the Texans having a high draft pick, my guys on my radar, the ones I'm most in love with are Rattler, Ritter, Malik Willis, and Matt Corral. Like, those are my big four right now.
Why is Malik Willis not? Is he not playing this week?
No, I mentioned him. I just didn't. There's no reason. They're playing Old Dominion. I've got him right there.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. 5 o'clock.
Yeah, that's the problem, everybody. If you're looking for Malik Willis, like, hey, here's the game to watch. They don't play anybody.
Right.
Hey, Desmond Ritter's playing Indiana. Indiana was a really good defense last year. That's something like, okay, that's a challenge. That's a test. But I don't. Old Dominion, all right, great, fine.
Yeah. Well, Malik Willis, they do play Ole Miss later this year. That'll be fun. Yeah. Matt Corral versus Malik Willis. So there you go. If you're a Texan fan who's into looking at the future quarterbacks, that is your short list right there. That's your viewing guide right now for this weekend. All right. We have Lisa. All right, good. Let's talk a little fantasy football. We've got one game in the books this week. A lot of points scored last night. I don't know how many fantasy players were thrilled about last night, because I don't know how many Daniel Jones and Taylor Heineke. A lot of Terry McLaurin's probably out there, owners. But we still got 15 more games we got to touch on with our fantasy football expert. She joins us each and every week, Lisa Ann, brought to you by Cindy's. Cindy's is number one for fantasy and fun. Lisa, how are you this morning?
Good morning. Another awesome Thursday night game.
Yeah, a lot of points scored. It was nice and very, very watchable and exciting. Lisa, any big takeaways from week one and I'll keep it specific to the Texans here just for a minute. I mean, the Texans put up 37 points, and they had some pretty good fantasy performers. Was there anything sustainable with the Texans that you saw in week one that should have fantasy owners maybe bumping some of the guys up in their lineup or maybe looking at the waiver wire for some guys?
Yeah, there's no doubt. And look, I think this was incredibly sneaky, right? Everyone just said, okay, we don't know what's going on with the Texans. We're not really going to draft them. Brandon Cooks went from being a late round pickup on everyone's bench last week and disappointed at that as well, to now I'm looking at lineups yesterday as I'm tinkering with mine, and he's in lineup. So that's a big change, right? Taylor looked really good, just spreading the ball around. I think seeing other matchups are going to help you a lot. But this was the confidence the Texans and you needed, right? This is exactly how you wanted to start the season. And it's great to fly under the radar. Flying under the radar for the Texans has taken away the pressure. Almost the distraction of Deshaun Watson has made no one take this team and think, oh, there's a lot of fantasy relevance here. And now that there's some injuries week one, a lot of Texan players are going to be picked up and are also going to be played.
Well, and I guess this week versus the Texans, we didn't really get to see a whole lot of the Texans' run defense because of the nature of last week's game, but they're going up against Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt, who I'm guessing a lot of people look at as a pretty good handcuff this week.
Yes, that's definitely going to be the play, and we also know that Cleveland's going to be without Odell Beckham again for week two.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, so they're just – I mean, there's nothing – there's nothing so far out of 1 week of watching the Browns that's made me think any less of those two. Like, that looks like, especially with that Kevin Stefanski offense, I mean, they're going to run and they're going to have success pretty much all year long, right?
Yep, and that's what they're planning for. And look, when they didn't get to work with Odell and they had to structure this game plan accordingly, Jarvis Landry will be one of these players that you're always tinkering with in your lineup. You want to play him, but you don't know if it's going to be the big game because they are pushing the run. And this is the perfect week at home for the Cleveland Browns to run the ball.
Lisa Ann joining us for some fantasy football advice. Lisa, I feel like we've done these a couple times now with you this season, and the Ravens are just such a mess with all these injuries. Now there's an injury to Ronnie Stanley, their left tackle, and they've been kind of mucking together the backfield situation with Williams and with Latavius Murray. Now it sounds like Devontae Freeman's going to get called up. What do you do with this Ravens situation right now?
Man, luckily a lot of the bad news started before draft season, so it's a fantasy football conversation. I think there was a lot of stay away. Maybe around week 8, week 9, we're looking at like Bye-mageddon, we're going to have better news for the Ravens, but it just seems all the way around broken and an untrusted system with having, you know, kind of a loss a week for the past 3 weeks when it comes to injuries.
Who out there right now is scaring you individually? Like, okay, all right, I just realized as I said it, it's Aaron Rodgers. What the hell's going on with Aaron Rodgers? there's nobody should scare you more right now than Aaron Rodgers, is there?
No, and, you know, this was so unexpected. And you hear him come out and say it's just one game. They get to play at home this week. it's foolish to not play him, right? You're in that fantasy football team manager mindset where you're like, there's no way he's going to have two bad games in a row. But what if he does? And what do we think of him? And now all the speculation, oh, he didn't do camp, he didn't do this. I don't really think that's it. I think it was a really out-of-sync game. And he's got an ego. It's bruised. He did a great spot with McAfee this week. I think he goes out there and plays really hard. I think the team is prepared to have a monster game, but it's going to be really scary because you got to wait and you got to look at your lineups. And if you don't have another quarterback, you're rocking with Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah, Monday night against the Lions, for those who don't know who he's matched up with. What about on the other side of that game from Sunday, Lisa, with Jameis? Like, how much Aaron Rodgers owners are hoping that was a fluke. Jameis owners, meanwhile, are hoping that's a trend. What did you think of Jameis on Sunday?
That's the question mark, because do I blame the Green Bay Packers defense? Do I look at them just being so unprepared for Jameis is the reason why, he played so well? It's kind of like Antonio Brown. I can't expect another big week 2 from AB. And I know everyone's going to sit Mike Evans, Chris Godwin for Antonio Brown because of last week. And I think it's very cyclical. So when I look at this, I feel the same way. I look at Jameis and I'm like, I need to see like 2 more games. It would be great. I mean, look, he threw a 50-yard touchdown. I heard yesterday Drew Brees has never thrown a 50-yard touchdown. I mean, that's just awesome for Jameis to have a resurgence, and if we see it, it's great. I don't own any shares. I didn't take the chance. Maybe I'm going to regret it, but I need to see 2 more games before I believe it.
Well, I guess then with the Tennessee Titans, that's where I'm wondering, after their disappointing week 1, how much of it is cyclical versus how much of it is that, okay, Arthur Smith isn't their offensive coordinator anymore. Maybe Ryan Tannehill is going to come back down to earth a little bit. Are you buying that the Titans might not be as good as they were last year, or do you think it was just a 1-year blip?
Man, I'm buying it as of that last performance, right? I'm buying that. We had such high expectations, but the changes there are definitely taking effect and not in a positive way. Facing Seattle is going to be a bit of a struggle. The travel, the defense, this is going to be another matchup where we're like, okay, by the end of this game, I'm going to feel like I'm fading Tennessee completely for the rest of the season, and I'm just going to play the matchups against them.
Lisa Ann joining us for her weekly visit, giving out the fantasy football advice. We'll get to the stardoms and situms here in just a second, but just one more, Lisa, in terms of some of the guys that we saw here in week 1. Week 1 is for, the post-week 1 is for panicking, on a small sample size here. 2 players, I want to ask you what the panic level should be right now for their owners. First, Ezekiel Elliott.
No panic. I mean, I didn't expect, that day I did an IG Live and I said Tony Pollard's going to be in the game. There is no reason for Dallas to just get Zeke beat up against Tampa's run defense week 1. It just made no sense. Ease him in there. They threw the ball. Dak carved it up. They did what they needed to do to almost win that game. And, as Cowboys fans, we feel like we won, even though we lost, just because we got to see what Dak could do. So I don't panic over Zeke. The comeback is here. Now, this is going to be a tough matchup for sure up against the Los Angeles Chargers, and I'm not very confident that the Cowboys can pull out a win, especially with another injury on that team. But don't panic over Zeke. He's going to get his. It's a 17-week season.
What about Saquon Barkley owners?
So Saquon had that great run, 40-yard run last night, building a lot of confidence. But, you're not going to expect him to go out there and do it in the second half. I did a halftime show last night, and, everyone's looking at the prop for the second half. And I said, look, they just played on Sunday. What would be the point of them going out there and forcing the ball to Saquon again? But week 3, week 4, just seeing what you saw in Saquon last night for that 40-yard run, that's what you're going to see week 3, week 4, week 5. So be very confident in Saquon, but, temper your expectations for the next couple of weeks.
All right, a few of these starters and sit-ems, let's rapid-fire these, Lisa. First, Matt Ryan, they're going against the Buccaneers in Tampa, or Joe Burrow, who's got the Bears in Chicago?
You're going Joe Burrow all day. Well, you don't want to play anybody against that Tampa defense.
All right, Rob Gronkowski, again, going against Atlanta, or Chase Claypool and the Steelers hosting the Raiders.
I'm going to go with Claypool here. I don't think Gronk's going to have as big of a week as he did week 1.
Another Joe Burrow, but this time Joe Burrow or Lamar Jackson, who faces the Kansas City Chiefs.
I'm going Joe Burrow. We know the Lamar Jackson-Kansas City Chiefs game could be a high-scoring game. For fantasy, you are going to get some points, but I still like Joe Burrow's matchup.
Man, Burrow's got to be pretty high up your power rankings right now, it sounds like. Yeah, absolutely. Okay, says, ask Lisa, Chris Carson or Najee Harris in a flex PPR? Najee Harris played every snap for the Steelers last week.
He sure did, and I'm kind of bummed about my Chris Carson lack of Najee Harris. I'm going Najee Harris in this matchup.
All right, last one. Do I start Amari Cooper over DK Metcalf this week?
No, you do not, okay? You do not. You start DK Metcalf. I mean, Cooper's my guy. Had a great week last week, but to not start DK Metcalf is just criminal.
Yep, there you go. Lisa Ann, she's brought to you by Cindy's. Cindy's is number one for fantasy and fun. Give her a follow on Twitter, at TheRealLisaAnn. Lisa Ann. Lisa, we always appreciate the time. Enjoy the games this weekend.
Enjoy the games.
All right, there it is. Lisa Ann joining us. A little quick fantasy football advice for you on a Friday. All right, we head into the 9 o'clock hour. We're going to get you ready for Browns and Texans throughout the remainder of the show here, including Tim Kelly. Does Bill O'Brien still have one friend left in the building over at NRG Stadium? The offensive coordinator of the Texans met with the media yesterday. Had some interesting things to say about his former boss. That's next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly.